Hey, welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 217 for November 27th of 2024. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there listening on the podcast. And on this Thanksgiving special, we have TCU former player Nathan Hernandez. How you doing, Nathan?
Hungry, ready to eat.
You're always hungry.
Yeah. I'm just planning the next meal.
Well, that's good. Hopefully you find it. We also have everybody's favorite punter from down under, Jordy Sandy. How you doing, Jordy?
I'm doing good, man. Surprised me that Nathan's always eating when he's a personal trainer. It's kind of counterproductive.
It is counterintuitive, isn't it?
Hey, yeah, but calories. You know, you got to feed the muscles.
For me, I'm going easy on the food this week so I can treat myself over Thanksgiving. So that's my game plan.
I've got a pumpkin roasting right now, so I've got to. We're heading down south with my wife's family, so I've got all sorts of desserts and things that I've got to make. So I'm in charge of all of that. So it's gonna be a fun weekend for sure, and we'll see how that goes. And also on tonight's podcast, we have a special guest, a man who hasn't been on much this season because he's been busy touring the SEC, and that is TCU Hall of Famer Shannon Brazil. Shannon, how you doing?
Man, I'm great. Great to be back, man. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Good to be back to talk Frog football and Frog sports.
Well, now, wait a minute. Why are you back? I mean, why did you have to come back? Where were you in the first place? What have you been up to?
Well, my third daughter was being recruited. She's a five-star recruit, but we've been on a SEC tour, if you will, every weekend since last month. We've been every weekend for about a month. We've been on the road. LSU, you know, Arkansas, Georgia, College Station, and obviously that team down the street, that burnt orange.
Yeah, I saw the photo with you and Del Conte. That was a good one.
We just happened to, let me tell you about a story I was asking when I were touring, because I didn't realize all their offices are literally in the stadium, all the coaches, right? And including his office. I didn't realize that. And so I asked him where was his office. They're like on the third floor. We'll pass by there. I said, yeah, okay, that's fine. And then on the way to the game the next day, we're walking through the back tunnel and we just happened to, I looked up and there he was, and he looked up and saw me, and all he did was start laughing. I started laughing as well. And I was like, damn, you spent a lot of money on your suits, bro, for that ugly color. So we started jabbing at each other instantly, but it was good to see him.
It was an ugly looking suit, I do have to say.
Yeah. He looked like he was in a marching band.
Yeah. That's exactly what it looks like. It looked like the UT back when, you know, the burnt orange marching band uniform. That's exactly what that jacket looks like.
Yeah, and all he can say is your daughter looks like your wife. Well, yeah, she does. That's a compliment.
You're telling me, and she runs like her too.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's why we're here. That is great.
Well, and did she? So, you know, let's not bury the lead. Did she finally pick a school?
Yes, she did. We narrowed it down to Texas and Arkansas, and at the end of the day, Georgia did the best job. And not only that, Georgia has actually recruited. They graded A plus out of the class of 2025, and they brought in, the top 10, top 15 athletes that were rated top, you know, the top in the country. So they're killing it right now.
Wow! So she's going to be a bulldog.
She's going to be a bulldog. So everybody, I got people calling me, giving me a hard time about it. I say, listen, that's track. It ain't football. And trust me, everything that I will have on it says Georgia.
It still hurts you a little bit.
Yeah. It will say Georgia track and field. Trust me. It won't say I made sure of that. It will be Georgia track and field.
That national championship game was kind of a track meet for Georgia, so.
All right.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Right.
I'm just going to go now.
Oh, our bad.
Sorry, Jordy. Sorry, Jordy.
Hey, I'm just a punter.
You had nothing to do with those points. All right, I'm with you. That's right. But no, it's glad to be back, man. It was an experience. You know, the SEC and the Big 12 and, you know, not ACC, they're all on different levels, man. I'll be honest with you. I saw the crowds, the money that they put into these facilities. even the athletes themselves, man, if anybody in the portal, they come to TCU, I just hope they're from the SEC, because those guys, even the guys who sit the bench, I saw some of the biggest guys in the world on the bench never played. And I'm just like, geez, you know, we need some of those guys, man, because they're just on a whole nother level. I called it the baby NFL because all those guys are NFL ready. I don't care what school we went to. They're just a different group of people.
Yeah, it's interesting. You kind of got to see that side of things and got to see what they're doing and what the recruiting is like compared to what we do here at TCU.
Yeah,
that's one other experience.
One thing I want to say is, like, I think based off what I know about us, and I don't speak about anybody else, but we're far apart from how this thing works with NIL and in that process. I could just tell it, you know, from seeing what you see. I was on the field looking at the parents talking. I'm on the field. I thought, you know, the kids we get every Saturday, you see the recruits. Their side is full of kids on both sides of the football field. Just thick, 4 or 5 rows, and they for 100 yards on both sides. It's just kids forever, and that they've all invited in. So it's a different ball game.
Yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, hopefully that's a point where TCU is moving in that direction, right? That's what we all want to see with recruiting. And, you know, it's going to be interesting, especially this offseason, to kind of see what this recruiting class is able to do. And so far we have a couple of really good pickups, and we'll definitely, between now and the end of the season, we're definitely going to go over some of the recruiting that football has actually done. But I mean, so far the class seems to be shaping up. I'm a little concerned that we seem to be going after wide receivers a lot more than we are people like offensive line or defensive line. But again, we can get into that a little bit later in a few weeks. A couple other things we wanted to bring up. Unfortunately, we don't have anybody from TCU Horned Frogs from SI on tonight, but we did want to point out TCU women's soccer unfortunately fell in the second round of the NCAA tournament to Penn State. They lost 0-1. Just last couple of games, Nathan and I were talking right before the podcast. It just seems like it didn't have much offense production at all. The only points that we had in the first round was obviously off of that penalty kick. So, Nathan, did you get a chance to watch the game?
I kept track of it. Saw that they had gone up. Penn State had gone up, I think, in the 46th minute, something like that. And then, yeah, it's just like we have a lot of shots. We just couldn't connect, and sometimes I push past that barrier once and then kind of floodgates open, but we just couldn't get that first goal to kind of get the confidence to keep going.
Yeah, so it was a tough game for sure. But TCU women's basketball is on fire right now, and of course we all kind of have December 8th circled on our calendar at Dickey's Arena when they're going to face off against South Carolina. That is going to be a game to watch, and hopefully you guys go out there, fill up that arena, and really kind of cheer on the TCU women's basketball, because, you know, if they stay healthy, I don't know, guys, where do you guys think they're going to land if they can stay healthy?
I think they can make the tournament. I think they got a really good shot. I just don't know how deep our bench is, because, you know, at the next level, as you guys will see, December 8th, you'll see how deep, like, you know, South Carolina's bench is, even though, you know, they're national champs and all that. But that's kind of depth you need to make it far in the tournament in case somebody goes down. It's such a long season. But I tell you what, our girls basketball team is very exciting to watch. I've been tuning in. The last time I checked in, we were 4-0. So, man, they're exciting. They gel. They play really good basketball. We have a bunch of three-point shooters. And so it's just good to see. It's really good to see. I'm excited for them.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one. Sorry, what were you going to say, Nathan?
Basically, I just think that, like Jenna was saying, you make the tournament and anything can happen from there. Once you get there, I think that's kind of your goal, is to kind of just make it, especially in the recruiting process, because, you know, you say, hey, I can make the – we're an NCAA caliber team. People want to come play for you. We've seen that for the men for the last few years now. You know, once we won that NIT tournament, when Coach Dix first got there, then kind of opens up more recruiting, more options. People want to come play for you. So I think it'll be good for us in the long run. Now that we, you know, I think we were talking about, I think Haley, some people think she's kind of the biggest name that's come to TCU starting out. A lot of people have come in, had a lot of success, gotten big national fame, but she's kind of the biggest name that's come to TCU in almost any sport ahead of the time that they were coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah. She has a lot of experience. That's good. She has tournament experience. She got championship DNA. Yeah, she's good.
And she's fun to watch.
Very.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game. All right. Well, talk about another good game. TCU, let's talk football. The men win 49-28 over the Arizona Cats. And I tell you, this is one of those things that this was a game that started off. Shannon, I know you were really happy to see this. Start off with an interception by Bud Clark. I mean, talk about, you know, they lose the toss. TCU loses the toss. Arizona decides to receive. And this has kind of been something, a little bit of a change over the last several games. When TCU has won the toss, we've elected to receive because we've elected to go ahead and just try to put points up on the board and try to go ahead and get that momentum going, because the defense usually takes a little bit of time to get going. This time around, Arizona wins the toss. They flip it on us, and they're like, hey, we're going to receive the ball. We're going to go down there. We're going to try to score. And Bud Clark goes, nope. And picks off the quarterback within the first couple of plays of the first series. You know, Shannon, what did you think about the defense in this game?
Man, defense was actually good, man. I was glad to be back in town to watch them. And if you saw, they mixed it up between, you know, they brung down a strong safety and they ran a lot of four-man front. You know, they ran a lot of zone, which allowed, I guess, with this team for better vision in the secondary. And so these guys, man, they played – you know, listen, I was excited. I really don't have, you know, obviously TCU's going to make it exciting from time to time. You know, I think we obviously got to tackle better, but that's, I mean, we're late in the season. Hell, that's, it is what it is at this point. They're not going to learn how to do that between now and next week. But if we tackle, if we just wrap up in the secondary, they don't even put up the points they do, because a lot of those, you know, a lot of those missed tackles turn into touchdowns or first down. So, but overall, I'm excited. We pressure the quarterback. Those guys played. Now they started. They didn't start slow this time. They jumped on them, and that's what I love to see. And I think we would have a different season had that been the game plan. I don't know what happened, what they switched up, but the fire was there from the very beginning. And man, they played pretty much all four quarters, man. So that was exciting to see.
Yeah, that was one big change. I really did like to see the fire on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, they were moving very quickly, flying to the ball like we were accustomed to see, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, right, under Coach Patterson. That was one of the hallmarks of a TCU defense, is that they would just fly to the ball and work well as a team and tackle well. And, yeah, tackling certainly does need to improve, and that has been kind of a note with the defense for the last several seasons, even going back before Patterson left. I think that was very good. Now, I don't know. I Shannon, it kind of felt like whenever we brought the pressure, good things happened for us, but we kind of go away with that. Like second quarter, third quarter, same thing that happened in the Houston game, same thing that happened in the UCF game. Do you think this is some sort of oddball strategy, or what do you think is causing that? Why do you think they move away from pressure?
It does not make sense to me why they do that. And if you saw when they moved away from pressure, they went back to that 3-3 looking deal. That's when we got no pressure. Anytime we crowd the line, even if we drop back, it confused the offensive lineman. They didn't know who to pick up. And so somebody would get there. But you've got to play the mind game. But when you sit up there and you're just on the 3-man front, instantly as a quarterback, you just feel good about not having that much pressure, or you're having more time. So why they do that, I have no idea. It's just the proof is in the pudding. When you have four people plus up on the line, your odds are better. And so I don't care if you're disguising or whatever you're doing. When you crowd the line, if you're going to drop two, drop three, whatever, you just have to mind screw them. That's what they call you mind screw them. You get the count off with the linemen, because those linemen, they have to count. They have to account for you up there. But once you wait to drop last minute, now they're all screwed up. So when they just make it basic and simple, it hurts us. And that's just not what we do. We've got to – that's why I give them credit for the most part, is because they did mix it up a little bit. They did apply pressure from jump and then kind of went away from it. And that's when you saw the defense kind of stall a little bit.
And they did stall. And there were – I mean, you know, the 28 points, obviously the last touchdown to get them to 28 obviously kind of came late in the fourth quarter and obviously off a turnover. And yeah, we can talk about that one, but that I don't really count that one. But there's still 21 points and they still had a couple of really good plays. We didn't necessarily take McMillan completely off the board, but I think part of that zone coverage that you were talking about earlier was specifically in order to be able to kind of keep him in front of the defenders, right? Because he starts to go off, you're going to have a bad day. And this team doesn't really have much in the way of offensive weapons to really kind of work around if McMillan is taken out. And I think that was kind of part of the zone. What do you think?
No, I think so for sure. Because again, when I kind of did a little research on those guys while I played them, and he's a beast. And they had a couple receivers that can really go if you give them the opportunity to rock. You know, if you go one on one with them, they're gonna give you problems because they have speed and they have height. And so, just the fact, I thought that was the main reason why we win zones is so we can have good vision and keep everything in front of us and break on the football. Obviously, that turns into a lot of missed tackles because when you have it in front of them, when you get a chance to break full speed at a receiver, your momentum is going to throw you by them. And so I saw a couple missed tackles with that, but at least we got to them. So I think that was the deal, to stop him, shut him down, don't let the receivers get going. And they did a great job with that.
How do you feel about the defense as a unit week over week over the last three or four games? Do you think they're improving?
Improving, but not consistent. I mean, it doesn't change anything in my book. I mean, until we don't have an identity, until we have a true identity. I was talking football with I don't know which school it was. I was on the day. What happened to y'all defense? I say, well, first of all, Coach Patterson's not there. I say, no matter what, he knew how to. He was a defensive minded coach versus what we have now. I don't get the 3-3. I don't understand it. I think they should ban it from football, because at least college anyway, because you just can't, unless you have the beast that I saw on the SEC that are 6'6", 6'7", 400 pounds that can really take two men or clog up, you do something like that in a 3-3. We don't have that. I'm sorry. We just don't. And you allow, again, I said it from day one. Hell, I said it last year. You allow a quarterback who's decent, you can make him a superstar if he has time. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And certainly there were a couple of plays on Saturday where we really did make him look like a superstar. Now, to his credit, there were a couple of really great throws that he made. But overall, if we had brought the pressure, he wasn't able to actually do much with the ball at that point. So it was kind of baffling to see them kind of move away. Nathan, let's get you in on this real quick. Let's talk offensive side of the ball. It wasn't the cleanest game, but overall, how did you feel about the offensive production?
I thought it was good. I mean, I still think our O-line struggled a lot, but our stars came out. You know, everyone was kind of thinking it was going to be like this Jack Besh versus McMillan kind of thing. But, you know, JP went off. He had a great game. Our running backs did really well from what I was watching. Obviously, Savion did Savion things, you know, went flying on that one touchdown. But no, I thought
they did Savion really well. Real quick. How do you feel about this move to the Wild Frog using Savion in that package?
I like it. I think it provides a different threat. And so you kind of have to scheme for a lot of different things that could happen out of that. You know, a lot of times they bring Josh across, behind him, you know, if he pitches it back to him, now it's a passing play and he can throw it pretty much anywhere. You know, we have the end rounds a lot, and Savion is capable of making people miss even when they have sure tackles. So I think it's different from the Wild Frog we saw before with Shewo, where it was power based. Right. You know, we had a big O line. Shewo was a big back, and so you're kind of saying like, hey, we're gonna run it down your throat, which is kind of something we've been missing at TCU for a while now. But I think Savion just adds a just different kind of explosive option in there, so I like it. I think we should use it all the time, but
yeah, he kind of seems to be our biggest threat right now running the football. You know, it's interesting watching him play and kind of the contrast with the other backs. I think he is the best back when you're dealing with initial contact. I don't know if Maybe I'm way off base, but it just seems to me that when it comes to initial contact, Savion does a really good job of either getting the first guy to miss or breaking the tackle. Whereas other backs, Cook maybe, the initial contact does them in. Like they can't quite shrug off that initial contact. How do you feel about the running game at this point?
Well, I think Savion's you don't expect him to be that elusive because he's a bigger receiver. You think, oh, I mean, he's a good route runner, all this, but you don't expect him to be that shifty for his size. And so I think that that plays a lot into defender's game plan. It's like, hey, we need to tackle his hips. He can move really well. He spins really well. I think that goes into a lot of it. Running game wise, I think we did better, obviously, in this game because we're able to run the football. But I think we just have to keep going with that committee. Just keep changing it up on them. Don't let them get comfortable with who they're trying to tackle. We have three, four really good backs. I think they've started a different back in the last three games. I think it was
Battle started.
Battle started this one. I think Payne was the one a week before, or something like that, or Johnson. And Cam's been getting some starts, but I think that we just need to keep changing it up on them.
Are you okay with that running back by committee? Are you okay with this rotation?
Yeah, I mean, it's working so far. I don't think we really have a back that's, and this is my opinion. I know a lot of people on the forum are outspoken about some of our running backs. I think that all of our running backs are capable of getting the job done in the right circumstances. But I don't think our O-line is great, and so I think that's why we have a lot of issues. We miss a lot of key blocks, and so you get a lot of people in the backfield immediately, and you don't get the opportunity to make a play. I think when Savion's in the running game, the defense is a little bit more on their heels. And so that's why he's able to get to them before they're able to get to him.
It sounds like to me, like it's really for you, you feel like the O-line
is
a big missing piece of the puzzle here.
Very badly. This is why we're talking about with the recruiting. I'm very shocked that we're saying, hey, let's go get receivers. We have a lot of good receivers. We need O-linemen. We need good O-linemen that gel together because we have so many, whether it's pass protection or run block, and we just have so many missed assignments, and it's so frustrating because, Hoover's, he can't go through his progressions because he's getting rushed into the pass. Running back-wise, they're getting into the backfield almost immediately, and it's, you're leaving the who you're keying off of open for a reason, but you got two other people back there, and so you can't really make the play that you want to make.
Yeah. Yeah. So Shannon, it looked like you had a slight disagreement with that.
I'll say this. I hear what you're saying. We do have some decent running backs, but your best running back is your receiver. I'm sorry. You do not take the ball. And Dallas does the same thing. They put it in the hands of CD because you have to put the ball in the best person's hands that can make something happen. If that were one of the running backs, why would you bring in a receiver? Because here's the thing about that. If you don't disguise that as a defensive person, you know who's getting the ball. You pin your ears back, you know who's getting the ball. And so, and what happens is this guy, I've seen him miss. He runs hard. He makes the first person miss unless it's just right in his face, right? And he's been more successful than not. He's a killer. He's a dog. And I'm sorry, but our running backs they're good. They don't have that in them. That's why they move him back there. Point blank, period, simple. You going to counter that?
I guess that was a mic drop moment.
You going to counter that?
I agree. I mean, I think Savion, he is that explosive player that can kill you in so many different ways. But it's the same with CD. CD is a receiver. He's not a running back.
Yeah, but
you use him in different ways because you honestly you did. Same thing with the top. Line is terrible. They're just so stagnant. We can't get good pass protection. But you're using this wild frog. Using CD. I think the Cowboys should use Turt more, but. You use these packages to generate momentum, to generate some plays, get the ball moving, and then you can kind of get to the rest of it. But I think it just comes down to O-line issue. But I agree. He's the best playmaker. Like Jack Besh is – he's up in the Biletnikoff still, right?
He is.
JP is going off like he did. We have McCaffrey, who I love. He's really good with that spin move. So I think we have so many receivers that can go off. I don't know why we're going after so many more receivers, but that's just my two cents on that one.
Well, I mean, some of those guys aren't going to be here next year for sure. But yeah, McAllister with that spin move now, that kind of seems to be his patented move. And JP had an unbelievable play to get his first receiving touchdown of the year, where he caught that ball coming across the middle and he just hit the brakes and that defender just flew right by him. I think I mentioned it on the forum. I was like, that's a Top Gun move right there, right? If you remember that scene in Top Gun, it was like, I'm going to hit the brakes and he's going to fly right by me. That's exactly what JP did. And then he was able to waltz right into the end zone. And then that was an amazing move. Exactly. It was a really good game from a receiving standpoint. It was really nice to see. I still would like to see more production out of the running backs, but I agree with you, Nathan. I think the biggest issue with the running game right now has got to be that offensive line. And when we talk about recruiting in a couple of weeks, we'll kind of break that down, because that's got to be the number one priority for this team moving forward. And then 1B would be the defensive line and or the scheme with the defensive line, because if we're not going to get, like, to Shannon's point, if we're not going to get those 6'4", 6'5", you know, 300 plus pound guys that can just absolutely just come in like a wrecking ball on that defensive line, and we're going to play more speed, kind of like a Schobel, then we got a scheme for that, right? And that's Shannon, that's a big issue in the offseason.
Shannon, you should have been talking.
Sorry, what was that, Nathan?
I said Shannon should have been talking to the recruits at Georgia about, hey, sure you want to come here?
Next time you go to Georgia, Shannon, you know,
that purple looks real good.
I'm going to, hey, listen, the purple's not going nowhere. Trust me. You know, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, you and your wife have the same problem that me and my wife have. We have too much purple in our closet to be to change just because one of our kids go to a different school.
Yeah, yep. It'd be empty.
Yeah, you guys look pretty in purple.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, Jordy, let's talk special teams real quick. I've got a question for you about it. First of all, Ethan had some great kicks in this game, but I'm a little concerned that we got in the field goal range several times on fourth down and we elected to go for it. Do you think this coaching staff just doesn't quite have the confidence in Kyle at this point? Or do you think that there was something more to that given the opponent?
Yeah, I think it was probably more so they really wanted to, you know, put the foot on the throat, so to speak, and, you know, really put a team away. And I think we really did that in the second half. Kyle's had a bit of a shaky year, and then, you know, Ethan's definitely not had the year that he wanted to. And, you know, we had limited opportunities between punting, and which is obviously a good sign for our right. offense. But yeah, I think they still have confidence in him to go out there and make kicks. It's just, I think that we're playing so much on confidence, and I think the team, you know, we really got rolling in that second half and really put him away. And I wanted to mention, thought JP Richardson had a couple of big returns that, you know, field position is such a big deal. And, you know, that punter from Arizona was really unsettled throughout the game. I think that we almost blocked the first punt, probably should have blocked it. There's about four dudes on him. But yeah, just setting up those returns and putting the pressure, you know, in a punt return and kick return game. And even I think some of our, kickoff, you know, on our kickoffs, I think our coverage has been really good in recent times. And, you know, that puts teams on the back foot early. And, you know, special teams is such a small part, but it's a lot of people think it's a small part, but it's really important. And that's going to play a big role, I think, in you know, this game and then in the bowl game as well.
Yeah, kickoff coverage has been fantastic. I mean, we're usually when they decide to go ahead and bring the ball out, we're tackling them usually within the 20, you know, 20 yard line or you know, closer to the goal line. Really, it's I think this last game, I think we stopped them at the 18 and the 16 yard line, respectively, when they decided to bring it out. And the rest of the time, it was either touchbacks or they decided just to call a fair catch, which is obviously a really good thing. Ethan had that one really good punt in the first half, and like you said, there wasn't a whole lot of opportunities for him in this game, which bodes well for, you know, for the Frogs when you're doing that. Unlike what was the Australian punter from Kansas? Did you hear about that one where his family came out to watch him play and like he didn't punt a single time in the game?
That's it's funny actually, because I'd go into games, I'd be like, well, I hope I get an opportunity, but if I don't, like, great, fantastic. Like, I'd be happy to not punt. If the team's doing well, like, I don't care. But just knowing that when I get an opportunity to, you know, do my best for the team, and I'm sure Ethan would say the same thing. You know, he wouldn't care if he didn't punt the ball. And then if he punted the ball 6 or 7 times and had an opportunity to really impact the game, but yeah, we don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say the punter is probably the one guy who's happy if he doesn't play a single snap, because that means your team's doing well usually, right?
Absolutely. It's good. And then obviously, like, for a kicker, it's, you know, Kyle, I'm sure he would take 7 PATs. Like, if you told him that at the start of the game, he'd probably take it. I mean, it just means the team's doing well.
Yeah. And he did. I mean, and that's the great thing. And he was right down the middle on every single one of them. So I think that's interesting. I just, you know, it's just one of those things where you just kind of notice that in the game where it's like, okay, we're in field goal position. Let's put points on the board, but we're going to go for it in fourth down. And, you know, especially like late in this, we're about to go into halftime, right? We're like, okay, well, now let's put some point. Let's just kick it, put some points on the board, and they go for it. Now it worked out for us, but it's still one of those things where you kind of scratch your head. It's like, okay, well, is this does the coaching staff now change the way they're viewing their field goal unit, or is this just a simple thing like you said, just want to put the foot down on the gas and go for the jugular at that point?
Yeah, I think we just, at the moment, it seems like we're playing with a lot of confidence on offense. We're putting up a lot of points. I think that's probably more so, you know, what they're focused on is, you know, putting points on the board. I mean, I know field goals, you know, going into a half, it's good, but you know, that touchdown, that's so big for the team's confidence. And yeah, I think it carried into the second half.
Yeah, it certainly did. That certainly kind of sparked things off, and then second half, it just kind of got away from Arizona, which was a good thing for the Frogs. And TCU had the second best or second most amount of points this week in the Big 12 outside of Texas Tech, which I think had 56. That was right. So they had a pretty big game. But that was a track meet. And this one seemed like, even though it wasn't, I wouldn't necessarily categorize this TCU game as a complete game. Not a game certainly where all four quarters and all three phases of the game were in sync, but overall, I think this was a better game than any of us thought was going to happen last week, including that one wayward Arizona fan that walked in while we were recording the podcast. I think this game went a lot better for the Frogs than we all thought. And in the end, all that matters is TCU wins 49-28. And goes up 7 wins on the season, chance for an 8-win regular season, and then hopefully 9 when you get to the bowl game. But they've got to get past Cincinnati and their terrible Skyline Chili on later this week after Thanksgiving in order to be able to pull that off. Shannon, have you not heard about Skyline Chili?
No, I hadn't.
They put chili on spaghetti, man.
Okay, but hang on. Hang on. It's actually pretty good.
When you're Texas, well, I'm sure it is, but man, we're from Texas.
Right? Yeah, it's different. Know,
chili below.
We invented chili.
Actually, they're kind of plates that, like, you order like a plate of spaghetti and like 2 corn dogs, like chili dogs, basically, not corn dogs, like chili dogs. So you get like a hot dog with chili on it too. So that part makes sense. But then yeah, the spaghetti, it's weird, it's different, but it's really not that bad.
It's definitely weird.
I'm a food guy. I don't knock it till I try, but that sounds pretty weird.
Well, next time, you know, in a couple of years when we're back up playing Cincinnati again, we'll get you a press pass and you can give it a try.
Yeah.
And you can be our correspondent. You can tell us what it's really like. We'll do it that way. But yeah, so Cincinnati, they are 5-6 on the season. They need this one win in order to be bowl eligible. So once again, TCU kind of plays the, you know, the Super Bowl for the opposing team. And I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this game, given the fact that it's, you know, it's a holiday weekend. We're coming off of a win against Arizona. We're on the road. Guys are away from home during the holiday. And yeah, let's start there, because all three of you have done this in one way, form, or another, either during Christmas break or Thanksgiving break, where you've had to play on the road. Does that affect a player at all, or are you guys just locked in concentrating on the next opponent?
Well, I can tell you this from, and I think it's about the coaching staff at the time. Obviously, these guys were with Patterson as the head coach. He was my DC, but I can only speak from a French-only standpoint. You know, even around the hot Christmas holidays, anytime we're bowl, you know, when these things happen, we're locked in pretty much. I mean, we don't, you get to see, your family can come up or whatever, but we spent those times together. We didn't have people going home and all that kind of stuff, especially for bowl games. You didn't go home until after the fact, right? So, because we had practice, we had all those things. And I remember at even Christmas dinner, they had us have family come up. You know, we ate in the cafeteria or whatever. But, you know, you stay pretty much locked in. It's good to see them, you know. But, you know, that part doesn't bother me so much as the Cincinnati needing a big win. That's what bothers me. Even if we're locked in, because the energy is going to be different. Those guys are playing for everything. And we are eligible for a bowl game. So it's like, I just hope we don't take our foot off the gas because we're going to take them for granted just because they're 5-7, 5-6, whatever their record is. Those guys are going to give, it's going to be a better game just based off that as it is. Like that's the part that worries me, because we've been in those situations and we've been on both sides of that, right? We've been on the losing end. And we've been on, especially with us, you know, San Jose, that had nothing to do with the holidays, but, you know, we didn't play our best game and we had opportunity to drop to 3 in the country our senior year, as you remember, Sean. And those guys had nothing to lose and they were playing off emotion and they beat us. And that's a hard game to this day to talk about. But, you know, we just got to go in there, focus and understand we're about to get their best punch in the mouth. And if we can withstand it, we'll win the ball game based off just our athletic ability. But we're going to have to be, our coaches are going to have to coach their coaches, and we're going to have to outplay them, and they're not going to give it to us. So that's what kind of worries me.
Yeah. Jordy, how did that affect y'all?
I honestly think playing on the road during the holidays is better. I think a lot of the time when you are at home, you know, everyone's away, campus is pretty quiet. Maybe people don't show up as much, and, you know, whether it's, you know, people find it hard to get up for those sort of games or what when the crowd doesn't turn up. But I think going into a environment where they can sort of, you know, do their Thanksgiving deal on Thursday and then, you know, be refocused, ready to go again. And I think, yeah, going on the road is, I always thought it was a little easier than playing at home during the holidays.
Yeah, Nathan, I know you guys several times had to play Texas over the holiday season. How did that affect you all? Or given the fact that it was Texas, it was like, yeah, of course, we're totally locked in.
That's a cupcake game.
Yeah. Certainly was a cupcake game.
We still got to eat our Thanksgiving meal. But no, I to both their points, I think it's I actually think it helps us being on the road, because everything about being on a road trip is the same. You know, your procedures are the same. Everything feels the same. There's not really that much that's different outside of, like, you know, I don't know, the weather. But and the fans obviously not being completely present. But, you know, like when you're at home, you have the distractions. You have the families in town or who you're trying to coordinate, who's coming to town, who's going where. You get a lot of those distractions. And that's really any home game. But more so during the holidays too. So I think us being on the road helps, but it like to Shannon's point, you know, it's they need one more. You know, they're trying to get to a bowl game. You don't want to be home during the holidays as a football player. So they're trying to get to that bowl game, and so they're going to do everything they can. You know, it's like whenever we used to play SMU. I hate using the phrase, it's their Super Bowl, but they're going to try to do everything they can to beat you. Especially when they have nothing to lose. So, yeah.
Well, it's going to be an interesting game. I mean, statistically speaking, Arizona and Cincinnati are very similar teams. Not a lot in the way of, you know, offensive weapons to speak of. Of course, one of the big changes here is that they're primarily an offensive or a rushing offense as opposed to a passing offense. Not that they don't have, you know, receivers that can actually hurt you. But overall, they like to pound the ball. And it's going to be an interesting kind of game, given the fact that TCU's rushing defense has not exactly been the most stout throughout this season. So it's going to be an interesting game, especially given the fact that it's over a holiday. Let's go ahead and just get into predictions. Jordy, what do you think? What's the final score here on Saturday?
I expect this one to be a little lower scoring than it has been in previous weeks. I think the weather will play into it a little bit. And with them trying to run the ball a lot, I'm just going to speed the game up a little bit. I think we're going to win 28-24
That's a fairly low scoring game for us, at least especially over the last several weeks. So that's interesting. Nathan, how about you?
Normally I would actually be very concerned about rushing game. Still kind of am, because our game against OSU helped me a lot, because you know they have Ollie Gordon, who's one of the better backs in the Big 12.
Definitely.
That kind of helped me a little bit. If we can keep trending that way, I think it bodes well for us. Unfortunately, based off of track record this season, I can't predict the blowout, because then we won't show up and we won't play. I actually had similar score to Jordy. Mine was 27-24. I'm gonna pull that card. We got 1 point left.
Yeah, three point win. Okay, yeah. Interesting.
Wow, all right. Game,
yeah, right. Is it going to be a field walk goal off to win the game at the end?
Walk off 42-yard field goal.
There you go. Bazooka or non-bazooka?
No, non-bazooka. I think he gets iced once.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be fun. Shannon, what do you think?
Man, we're all in the same arena. I was going to go 27-21. I just think it's going to be one of those games where, you know, we're going to have to – it's going to be a game. I just think it's one of those situations where, you know, as you said, we were at home and we sputtered a little bit. You know what I mean? And so I just have that fear that if we sputter there with them having such high momentum just going into the game, you know, that could cause some problems for us making it close, right? So – I think it's going to be that type of game. I think it's going to be a one-score game, so I'm going to stick to my guns at 27-21.
27-21, okay. Well, I will buck the trend, and I'll go two-score game. I'll say TCU 38-24. I think that, yeah, we're going to get their best shot, but I think just like what we saw with Arizona, we got Arizona's best shot as well right out of the gate, and the defense did a really good job of shutting that down. And I think if that same defense shows up with pressure in the first quarter, I think we have an opportunity to kind of break their will. And then we can kind of, like what we were doing before, just kind of keep the foot on the gas and just keep it going. I think that'll be a fun game for us to actually see. But I think, you know, Nathan, to your point, the OSU game, the only problem I have with the OSU game is I really think Gundy's completely and totally lost that locker room. I think that's different than what you have going on in Cincinnati. But then again, in Cincinnati, they absolutely need this win. And if things don't really start going the way that they hope they are going in the first half, that team has shown in the past that they don't have the wherewithal to be able to play four straight quarters.
I just saw that Cincinnati's lost their last four games. So they've been, you know, one win off a bowl for, you know, 5 weeks.
Yeah, so, and when you get to that point, right, this is now the fifth time you have a chance to get bowl eligible. Desperation.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I don't think that makes me feel any better.
Yeah. Well,
because now it's like literally it's our last chance. Like, yeah, we got to do something. Somebody hit
me. Well, it was their last chance, whether it was their last chance this week or 4 weeks ago. I mean, it has been their last chance the last 5 weeks. I mean, at some point in time, it is absolutely going to be your last chance, and it happens to be us. But I really do think it's going to boil down to who has the momentum in the first half. I think if TCU can keep that momentum going, I don't think we're going to have a similar situation like Houston or UCF with this particular team. I think, you know, to Jordy's point, they haven't really been doing much in the last, you know, month. And I think if TCU can kind of come out and just punch them in the mouth, Shannon, kind of like what we used to see, if we can have that kind of old mentality again, especially in that first quarter, you know, I don't see Cincinnati being able to kind of pull it back together and be able to play four straight quarters against TCU.
And I will say this, we're still playing for something too. We're playing for a better bowl game. So we do absolutely have something to play for. So this game is important to us too. So now that I think about it, you know, so, you know, we win this game, better record, and, you know, that gives us an opportunity to play in a bigger bowl. So, you know, hopefully that'll be the conversation as well. And those guys will have something to play for, you know, like Cincinnati will.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, nobody wants to play, you know, in your own stadium at like the Armed Forces Bowl. No offense to the Armed Forces Bowl. It's a great bowl, but, you know, you don't want to end up back at home playing your bowl game.
No.
And winning this game pretty much ensures that's not going to happen.
Right. Exactly right.
Yeah, I'd rather go to Shreveport
over here. Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, the Shreveport, the Independence Bowl, right? Those reps were there on Saturday, and
they gave me a free pin.
Yeah, they gave you also. I didn't get a free pin. All I got was just, you know, what was it? Just a handout.
I see free stuff. I start grabbing.
No, I heard we're projected right now as we sit.
Texas.
Well, the Liberty Bowl, that's what I heard.
Liberty. Okay.
So, you know, Memphis, that'd be fun, but, you know, I'd go. But, you know, again, you never know, man.
Overrated barbecue.
I had a bad experience.
True that.
Right. Yeah. You go to, if we go to Memphis, do not go to Rendezvous. It's not worth it.
Question for, did y'all see the rankings, college football rankings?
Yeah, actually, sorry, I was going to bring that up, but so Oregon's still number one, then Ohio State 2, Texas at 3, Penn State at 4, Notre Dame at 5, Miami at 6, Georgia at 7, there you go, Shannon, Tennessee at 8, SMU at 9, they actually cracked the top 10, Indiana at 10, Boise State at 11, and Clemson at 12. And then most notable, what were you going to say, Nathan?
I was going to say, just keep on the real quick, I know I'm going to get back to the Alabama thing, but with SMU at 9, that sucks. If they were any other team, I even think if they were us, we would be higher than 9.
Oh, absolutely. We'd be top 5 right now.
Yeah,
for sure.
Like, right. That sucks. I don't obviously want them to succeed in a lot of things, but I want them to be fair. All the rankings are very biased, but. Yeah.
Well, given the fact that their only loss was to a ranked BYU. Top 20 team, BYU. Absolutely.
Yeah. And even then, they started the season not really bad, play-wise from my perspective. But it's supposed to be off of how you're playing now. That was the whole thing with ours in 2014. It's like, you know, we were playing better than we did.
It's supposed to be based on how you play. Yeah. But you know, as we learned last time, it's also about who's your starting quarterback. So explain to me how Texas is number 3.
Well, yeah, they've seen.
They ain't played anybody. And I'm standing now. College Station will beat these guys this weekend. I've been called. They're going to beat them.
It's funny.
I'd love to see that.
There was a picture. It was like, have you played 2 ranked SEC teams in this season? All the SEC teams were like, yes. UMass was yes, because they've played 2 ranked teams from the SEC, and Texas hasn't played a single one.
Yeah. Nope.
UMass has played more. And the one team they did play, they got blown out.
Yeah, that's crazy. Now, speaking of Texas A&M, of course, they dropped to number 20 after losing. And Alabama drops out of the top 12 at number 13. And to be honest with you, I'm a little ticked off a little bit the fact that Alabama is still lurking around in the top 15 of teams. I mean,
they're keeping them right on the bubble in case somebody else loses, and then they're going to put them right back in. They're going to make
it. It's exactly what happened with Ohio State back in 2014
and 2016.
Right? And of course, nobody faltered at that point. And in fact, we even blew out Iowa State to end that season. And of course, they still leapfrogged us into the first playoffs. So,
yeah, they're just keeping Alabama around.
They are. I mean, who do you think they leapfrog at this point? Do you think they leave out Clemson, Boise, or Indiana?
Anybody that loses, if any single one of those teams in the top 10 loses or top 12.
Well, let me ask you this. If all of those teams win, do you still think they put Alabama in?
They can't. That'd be bull. Do you know that would be
can't.
A fire? That would just say politics, even though we know that's what it's about, that would just scream it at the top of, you know, that's crazy.
I don't think they can. I think they're just keeping them there in case someone loses.
Well, but you still have Alabama, Mississippi, and South Carolina ahead. All three of those teams have 3 losses. And ahead of the following 2 loss teams, Arizona State, Tulane, I can understand that, Iowa State, and BYU. So you got 3 Big 12 teams that are below the other 3. And they all have 1 additional loss. And, you know, I think the rankings scream bias as it is.
100%. I love that. I think it was Friday night. Nick Saban was talking about how, you know, he brought up the 2022 season again. He was like, you know, Alabama would have been 13.5-point favorites over TCU. Trying to plead his case still. Don't know why it's passed.
It Saban's happened. An idiot.
And then Oklahoma was 13.5-point underdogs, and they freaking blew them out.
Yes, I love that. And I love Sonny. Sonny's did you hear Sonny's reaction to that?
Yeah, he was like, hey, we were there, they weren't.
Exactly. Pitch perfect response to Sabian. I mean,
it's stupid. There's no point in still talking about it.
It is. And I still don't get this comment. I mean, yes, we got boat raced in the national championship. No doubt about it. Right. And there's a lot of reasons as to why that happened, but we still got there by beating Michigan. So I don't see all these people. Oh, TCU shouldn't have been in there. Okay. Well, does that mean Michigan shouldn't have been there either?
And Alabama, I mean, lost Michigan the next year.
Right. Exactly. So it's like at some point in time, you got to realize is that, you know, sometimes you have a bad game and it happens. Sometimes you play 15 weeks in a row and you get dinged up and enough people were hurt and enough things, you know, don't go your way and things just happen, right? It happened to us. Not a good feeling, but at the same time, I think we deserve to be there because we won the games that got us in there. So yeah, it's interesting. Jordy, let's bring you in. What did you think of Saban's comments?
Yeah, it was kind of a bit of bad taste, I think, from Saban. Like, man, just win your games. Like, if that's the problem, win your games. Like, doesn't really matter, like, what team would have been favored by how many. I mean, we were seven and a half point dog, I think, to Michigan. It might have been more. And we won. So I don't really think that should play into it too much in terms of who's favorite and who's not. Just win your games.
Yeah, well said.
Any given Saturday, man, just win.
Sir.
That's how it is. That's going to be it. That's one of the things I'm really excited about by expanding the playoffs. And I know a lot of people didn't like that. I've wanted it to be 16 teams, to be honest with you, from the very beginning. I think every single Division One champion should get an automatic bid, automatic seed, and then you got another, you know, at this point, six other spots that you can actually, more than six, sorry, yeah. Spots that you can actually fill in at large. And I think that's a fair way of going about doing it because the regular season has to mean something. And it can't just be, hey, let's just take five SEC teams.
It's all and, well, Alabama's undefeated in a hypothetical situation. Like, you can't go off hypotheticals. Like, you just got to.
Right.
They won, they're in. It's like the NFL. Like, you win, you're in.
Exactly.
There's no, this team looks better than this team because we've all seen any team can beat anybody. It's the whole thing behind March Madness. Anybody can beat anybody.
Right? You get hot at the right time, and that's all that matters. When you're healthy at the right time, you get hot at the right time. We've seen teams have a piss poor first half, get healthy, get everybody back and go on a run and go win the Super Bowl. We've seen it. It's sport.
23 Rangers.
You've had, an undefeated Patriots team with one of the best offenses in the history of the NFL lost to the Giants off of a freak touchdown or a freak helmet catch. Like, it happens.
Yeah, it happens. It does happen. That's why we love sports. That's why this game is what it is.
Amen.
You know, without all the politicking, as we call it, and all the bull crap, and that's why Coach, man, you're retired, man. You know, do your job on game day and try to have more of a personality because I just think he's the wrong fit for that show, and I love that show. He just doesn't have a personality. And, there's a reason why that they – what's my man name? They love him because he's all over the place. He's hype. He's exciting. And that's just what it's supposed to be about. So in Saban, man, he's just old. He's an old fart. And it is what it is. He's respected. He's going to go down as one of the best coaches. But at the end of the day, brother, win your games. I mean, like I say, you're talking smack, and then you go in Oklahoma and you get drove. Like, so what now? Let's comment on that, right? I guarantee you he'll just make excuses why versus just saying, no, they got drove. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It is what it is. You can't fool the eyes, man.
I think that the media has done a bad job this year of creating narratives and the whole thing with, I think it was Desmond, whenever they brought up like the Arizona State BYU game or whoever it was, they were like, why are we picking this game? It was like, because you were asked to. Like, it doesn't matter if you think that that's a bad matchup. Who cares? You're a sports media, broadcast analyst, whatever. Just pick the game. Like, don't create your own narrative of this team is because it's the Big 12 doesn't deserve to be on this show.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And I hope at some point in time they actually fire Saban, because maybe then when they save money on his salary, we won't have as many media timeouts when we play on ESPN Plus.
For sure.
That was ridiculous on Saturday. I'll just say that. Anyway, well, it's going to be interesting. We'll obviously, after this week, we're all going to be glued and see who the final 12 is going to end up being. especially after championship week. And we're going to be covering that. We'll come back. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about recruiting. You know, now that TCU is mathematically out of the Big 12 championship hunt at the moment. So it's going to be interesting to see over the next couple of weeks. But TCU's got to get over Cincinnati, and I'll still go to the grave saying it, terrible chili. And we'll see how things go on Saturday. And with that, we have come to the end of the podcast. Again, want to wish everybody out there a happy Thanksgiving listening to us this week. And of course, you can go to killerfrogs.com and you can click on the forum and, you know, sign up for a free account. Let us know what you think. You know, what do you think the final score is going to be on Saturday? If you've tried the Skyline Chili, tell us what it is. I mean, give us a review. I'd like to hear what you think about chili on spaghetti happens to be. And if you think Coach Saban has a point, let us know. We won't agree with you, but go ahead and let us know. We'd love to hear from you, especially if you're an Alabama fan. And of course, you can go and you can find Killer Frogs on all the major podcast networks. Of course, we're on Amazon, we're on Spotify, Google, and Apple, of course. And with that, we have come to the end of the podcast. It's time we get our frogs up and we get to say, go, Frogs.